I like Brother Gip, you know, he'd come in and he'd preach and he'd say, you know, I only got five sermons. And I got a few other ones back here. I don't think I've preached this one to you all yet, okay? So if I have, you'll have to stand up and give me all the points, okay? So I know you're not fibbing or something. 2 Samuel chapter 15. Now what's going on here? Absalom's in the midst of a process of a thing that's going to cause David to have to abdicate the throne temporarily, at least till Absalom is killed. So we'll start here at 15 verse 1. It says, it came to pass after this that Absalom prepared him chariots and horses and 50 men to run before him. And Absalom rose up early and stood beside the way of the gate. And it was so that when any man that had a controversy came to the king for judgment, then Absalom called unto him and said, of what city art thou? And he said, thy servant is of one of the tribes of Israel. And Absalom said unto him, see, thy matters are good and right, but there is no man deputed of the king to hear thee. Absalom said, moreover, oh, that I were made judge in the land, that every man which hath any suit or cause might come unto me, and I would do him justice. Boy, I'll tell you, he's something else, ain't he, this guy? And it was so that when any man came nigh to him to do him obeisance, he put forth his hand and took him and kissed him. And on this matter did Absalom to all Israel that came to the king for judgment. So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. And it came to pass after 40 years that Absalom said unto the king, I pray thee, let me go and pay my vow, which I have vowed unto the Lord in Hebron. For thy servant vowed a vow while I abode in Geshur in Syria, saying, if the Lord shall bring me again indeed to Jerusalem, then I will serve the Lord. And the king said unto him, go in peace. And he arose and went to Hebron. But Absalom sent spies throughout all the tribes of Israel, saying, as soon as you hear the sound of the trumpet, then you shall say, Absalom reigneth in Hebron. And with Absalom went 200 men out of Jerusalem that were called, and they went in their simplicity, and they knew not anything. And Absalom sent for Ahithophel, the Gilonite, David's counselor from his city, even from Gilo, while he offered sacrifices, and the conspiracy was strong, for the people increased continually with Absalom. Okay, let's have a word of prayer. Father, once again, I thank you for your mercies. Thank you for the precious blood. We sure thank you for this book. And Lord, we know it's your words. They're pure. Lord, and Father, we just ask you to open our eyes tonight. Help us to have the right heart, mind, and attitude. Lord, we pray you'd speak to us, and we'll give you the glory and the praise, for it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Now, I'm going to give you some things tonight found in verse 6 about stolen hearts, all right? Verse 6 says, Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. Now, if you think about that, that is a remarkable thing right there, isn't it? I mean, it's not just one person or two. It says he stole the hearts of the men of Israel. Folks, in the end, and you bring this thing around here, in the end, you know, the heart is the real prize, right? The heart is the prize, folks. When we talk about, you know, our relationships and relations between spouses, you know, husband and wives, family, you got kids and, you know, their parents and things like that, you know, I think that thing right there, the goal is not just to impart, you know, a sense of obligation one to another. It's not just to force the other one to love you. Now, I know when they're younger, you got to force them to do things, right? But I think this thing here is, it's rather a desire for the families that the hearts just might be won over, isn't it? You want your kids' hearts won, right? You want them to the Lord and things like that. Especially if you win someone to the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, after they get saved, I'm sure your hope is that their heart is, they're going to turn their heart over to the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're not going to lose that first love. That's the thing. That's the idea. Your heart is the real prize. My heart is the prize. The Bible talks so much about the heart, folks. It says here that, you know, Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. Now, I'm just going to point out a few things before we get into the message here. That something that's real interesting thing. You notice here, David, number one, he was the rightful king of Israel at this time, folks. He is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, by the same token, you look at the other guy here, you're looking at Absalom. Absalom had no right to the throne. He wasn't called to the throne. He's a type of the Antichrist and also a picture of the devil. So I'm going to keep that in mind as we go through here on these scriptures about, you know, who Absalom is, and or is he picturing here on this thing. Then, you know, he says here, verse 6, Absalom, you know, he stole the hearts of the men of Israel. It's not just, again, the young girls. You know, you think of this man here, and folks, you look at chapter 14, verse 25. He is a handsome young man. And he just didn't flatter and get the hearts of the young girls here, folks. I mean, he got the hearts of the men of Israel. You talk about, man, some of David's best men were won over by this fella. Well, that's a remarkable thing. And when he stole the hearts, you know, it was without. It's without the news media. It's without the technology we have today. Man, and we've got the technology today. You think about all the tools that the devil has to be able to put out information, false information, to convince people, folks, of anything. And here's Absalom. And boy, what he managed to do, he managed face-to-face, a one-on-one deal here. I don't know how long this thing took, but I know, you know what, he gradually won the hearts of the men of Israel here. And with all that, without this high tech stuff, you know, all that stuff. And then something else here, you notice, and think about this thing. He stole, folks, the hearts. He stole their hearts from a good king. This wasn't some wretched, wicked king, you know, doing it against the law and stuff like that. This is King David. All right. You think about them. He was beloved, folks, by all the people there. I mean, when he defeated Goliath, man, he was the hero, right? He was on top of that thing right there. And I know, you know, this time he had fallen, but he'd gotten right on this thing here, you know, about that situation with Bathsheba and stuff. And I don't know, I mean, exactly how much all the public knew of all that situation that was going on there. But, I mean, when you think about this, and David got right, what kind of king he was, folks, he was a great king. And he stole the hearts of those men from this great king here. And then one other thing here, you know this, what he says, he calls this thing in verse 12 a conspiracy. The Bible labels this as a conspiracy. So I want you to consider and think about that when we're talking about in relation to the devil and what he's doing today. Is a lot along the lines of what Absalom did back there. The devil is the god of this world, folks. He blinds the minds of those that believe not. Folks, and by the time, you know, you study and you read over there in Revelation, you find out that the Antichrist, when he reaches the end of his ministry on this earth, folks, he has managed to deceive the whole world. Well, I mean, the whole world? I'm telling you, folks, that is what is Absalom is a type of here. All right. And it's just a remarkable thing, folks, that when you look and you think about this to see what the devil has accomplished in the hearts of men. And I'm talking, you know, the world, lost men, and even our hearts as believers. Right. How the devil can get in there. And boy, he can just mess up some things. So I'm going to talk about some stolen hearts tonight. OK. And I mean, the real story is in the spiritual realm. Right. Boy, that's the thing where the spirit is in our hearts. That thing right there is just as much as you see things going on today in the outward world. Boy, the devil is working in the spiritual realm. He's not quit. OK, so stolen hearts. So start out. I look at there at verse 12. I want you to see the blueprint of how this guy starts to work. OK, and again, you can think of, well, the devil's doing the same thing, man, on this thing. Verse 12. Notice it says Absalom sent forth Ahithophel, the Gileonite, David's counselor from his city, even Gilo. And he offered sacrifices, and the conspiracy was strong, for the people increased continually with Absalom. Now, that thing right there showing you, folks, this is a premeditated conspiracy. He's out to steal the hearts of those men. And you remember David's type of Christ, right? And Absalom's a type of the Antichrist and the devil. So what is the blueprint he follows? How does he start this thing on taking their hearts? All right, verse 2, notice it says there, first of all, it says, Absalom rose up early. Absalom rose up early. So, folks, I tell you, you already know this. This guy here, this Absalom fella, he's not a nice guy. All right? He's not a responsible, you think, upstanding human being out to try to help folks. See, that's not him, all right? He tries to put that out there like that, but that's not what he's doing, all right? He is laying down a plan. He has prepared his chariots. He's prepared his horses. He's made preparation on things. He wants to tear away the hearts of the men of Israel by a conspiracy, all right? It was wrong. You know, that thing wasn't right there. It's a full-blown assault. All right, to kill his father, to take his throne, folks, and to rule. And you think of that, you think of the devil and how he works in that thing. Folks, that's what this is about spiritually. I mean, what's going on? It is Satan managing to tear up this world. It is the devil managing to tear up our own hearts if we open those doors and let him in. He's the god of this world. Folks, he is a murderer. He is a liar. He's the father of all those that are not saved. He's evil. More than we can probably even imagine or think. I mean, how can somebody just be so evil and wicked? And here, this is Satan here, this creature. And you think of the history on this. He's the one who ambushed Sister Eve right in the garden there. He took advantage of Adam's loyalty, all right, when he loving his wife there. He's the one who... You think about place the bitterness and the murder in the heart of Cain, folks. When God didn't honor Cain's sacrifice there, you get to just Genesis chapter 6. As you're reading through that, you find out he has worked in the thoughts of man so much that their thoughts were only evil continually in Genesis chapter 6. That guy, I'm telling you, he is one bad dude, okay? So the devil, you got to know that the devil then has in place, and all these people would laugh and mock at you if you tell them you believe that there's a devil. You know, they can't grasp that thing. The devil's got them so deceived. The devil has an infrastructure, all right, in working with men and dealing with their hearts. It's a conspiracy, all right? He's against all that's good. He is against, folks, all that's right. He is against all that's peaceful. The devil wants to throw the sand and the rocks in the works of God, anything in there to tear that stuff up. Whatever's good, he wants to damn the lost souls. He wants to see them in hell. He wants to disturb your peace, all right? He wants to stop you from trusting in God. And he's gonna succeed in deceiving the whole world. Now that's the background in here, all right? For us, you know what? We have to contend with right now, what we're dealing with right now, in these last days, is seducing spirits. We deal with doctrines of devils, he says over there in Timothy, corrupt minds. And you say, well, how do we do guard against that? Well, you're gonna have to guard your hearts from being deceived. You know what he tells you? Keep thine heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life, right? That's some important news, all right? That's a message you get, but you got to keep your hearts, all right? So talking about stolen hearts, let me ask you this. Who has your heart tonight, right? Who has your heart? How successful, folks, has Satan been, folks, in just stealing hearts? Saved and lost, okay? He's wise, he's subtle, and he has great success in this thing. So, and getting that far right there, I want to say number one, the way he works is verse 2, the very first thing we mentioned there, the early rising. Absalom got up early. Boy, he was the first one up. You know what they say? The early bird gets the worm, right? And folks, this thing here, Absalom was the early bird. In this thing here, he's getting up so early, I bet. He's getting up early. He doesn't want anybody to get his spot in the front gate, right? I think he's probably moving around those carts and the oxen and whatever else. He's maneuvering them things around the gate. So everybody who comes in is going to have to come right by him. You ain't going to be able to get around him, right? He's going to move that thing right there. When the people come by, you know what he's doing? He's kissing the babies. He's shaking their hands. He's a good politician, right? You get into this thing, right? He gives the donuts out to the cops, right? He's got the pins, you know, vote for, you know, Absalom, you know, he's putting all this stuff out there. And, you know, he's if anything I can do for you, just please let me know. You know, I'm for you. I'm for your rights and all this kind of stuff. You know, folks, he's so caring, isn't he? You see that stuff. You see folks all the time on TV, these preachers and stuff, and they're just out for your money on that kind of stuff. But he, folks, I'm going to say this, and this, he has been at it early, all right? To be able to pull something off like this thing, you know, people, and today, even when you're talking about the devil, people are so blinded, folks. You know what? You say, well, how does he get away with this stuff? What's going on? Well, he has been working, folks, you talk about, on the public since the womb. All right. He's working on folks ever since they're born. You've got parents who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't know how to guide their kids. They don't know how to spiritual battle on these things. They don't know how to protect them from enemies like that. And folks, kids today, you know, and years and years and years have been raised up on TV. They're raised up on the high tech stuff. You know, they got the smartphones and the culture. Every day he's feeding them stuff to them. And, you know, it's just going to keep getting worse. And this monster here, folks, he's up early at it, okay? He's brainwashing folks. He's filling their minds with dirt and filth and immorality. Folks, that stuff is accepted as the norm today. Can you, you know, say, how did it get so far? How do we, you know, on TV the stuff all they show. And you think about even in Christianity today, folks, the churches. The average, you say, Baptist churches today or Southern Baptist folks, they don't think anything about bringing an NIV to the pulpit. You know, it's like, how can you if you're a Bible believer and you get in this book and you know something, how could someone even, you know, you're a preacher and you're bringing that stuff in the pulpit and you're preaching that stuff? How did they get that? Well, he's up early on this stuff. Now, this generation grows up, we got a generation that's growing up with our children in schools unchecked. Unchecked, right? They do what they want to do. They're just going to let the flesh run. The parents going to let the kids do what they want to. Parents are doing whatever they want to. I'm talking about they've sown sin from childhood, right? So he's talking about here, today you've got youth early in debt, right? Just going to go in debt early, early in the bondage of sin, early in the filth that they get in. They're early in reaping, early in bondage, folks. Folks, that's what he's doing, right, in this thing here. The devil has risen up early, and he's stolen the hearts, folks, of multitudes of generations, which you're looking out. It's because he's gotten up early on this thing. You see it right here from Absalom. Again, notice verse 2. Notice the second thing it says here. And he stood beside the way of the gate. You'd say, well, what's that? Well, again, this thing here is public access. All right, he's right there in the way of the gate. That's the gate of the city was the place, folks, where they met oftentimes and did their business. You remember back there, Boaz, he sat with the elders in the gate. That's where he settled it about Mary and Ruth. All right, had that thing settled there. It's public access. Remember, folks, Absalom managed to, you say, overturn things without all the high tech and the news media and stuff like that. It's just person on person, one on one. Boy, he's a good looking fellow, right? He's saying some real good things. He cares about me and stuff like that. And he stole the hearts of the men from with that stuff, right? This you think of Satan today, and you can think of the advantages he's got with all this stuff with the news media and the multi stuff. I don't have to get on, you know, Facebook or Twitter tonight and stuff because, you know what, there are things today that you can't even avoid. That's public access things. You got the, you know, the grocery stores. You got Walmart, right? Stuff Mart, Targets. Kids being in public schools. Folks, hey, the devil has been rising early with a conspiracy to steal their hearts. All right, and he uses public access to do that. Marketing, right? He's gonna use billboards. Now he's gonna get on the iPhones. You got, you know, all the G5s and stuff like that. And the point is, you know, we're talking about the public access is where he hits, folks. And it's more than that. Okay, it goes a little bit further here. Verse 2. Notice he says there that it was so that when any man that had a controversy came to the king for judgment, then Absalom called unto him. You see this thing here. This thing here. It says when any man had a controversy. Now, I kind of bring this in to the Baptist churches. This is where where the rubber may hit the road, as they say, something like that, and kind of gets closer to us on this, where the devil can get in on us. This is the inevitable controversies. right? You know, there's controversies in churches, man. And families and stuff, you've got these controversies came up, right? When any man had a controversy, boy, old Absalom was in the gate, right? They were coming in, they wanted judgment from the king. Instead, what they got is Absalom coming up there, and what he's doing, he's undermining, right, the king. He's undermining the judgments of the king. Absalom, you know, he was assured that somebody or someone was going to come by with a gripe, right? So someone's going to have a problem in the kingdom. And you know, someone, you know, thought that they had been exploited or, you know, they've been cheated. And I tell you what, folks, you know, the devil is sure more evil than Absalom ever was. The devil had, he uses this thing here. If there's one thing the devil knows how to do, it is how to get in the place where you've been wronged. And I'm talking about you Christians, you Bible believers. You know what? Have you ever been wronged? Oh man, you better watch out. You get that? You get someone? You know they've been wronged. You know all that kind of. And you can see, folks. I mean, today, you know what's going on today in America? Now you see all the strife that comes up in this country. You got people bringing up all kinds of past wrongs in America's history. Right? They want to be paid back. You know, for the years we've been put in slavery and the years we've been mistreated, we want to get paid back. And I heard they're doing some of that stuff in Illinois. I mean, I don't know, man. I'll tell you, it's going on, folks. They get that thing going on. And I'm going to say, you know, the point is anybody, folks, can go around and dig up a bunch of stuff that may have happened around in the past that's gone wrong. They want to gripe about that. They want to get people, they want you to get feeling, you know, sorry for them, you know, and sad about that thing. But can I tell you, that doesn't mean that you're right in doing that stuff. Okay? I mean, you know, I just wonder here tonight how your inevitable controversies have maybe affected you tonight, right? Probably, I'd have to say this, you know, most likely everybody in here at some level has been bullied in the playground, you know. Maybe Johnny pulled your pigtails, you know, or something, and they stole your candy bar, you know what I mean? I just don't see when people bring this stuff up like that, I don't see why that should mold your whole life, okay? It is now, it's just victimhood. Everybody's a victim, right? That's the thing on that, right? Which, I tell you what that allows, folks, that allows the devil, if you use that stuff, that allow the devil to slip in and manipulate you. Okay, because the point is the devil can use circumstances to even turn you against God, you to get mad at God for things that happened, right? He convinced Eve, right? You remember old Eve right there? He convinced Eve that she had been wronged. Eve hadn't been wrong, folks. God didn't wrong Eve. The devil convinced Cain that he had been wrong. Okay, that's not true. They rejected God's warnings. All right, they were told. All right, the point is, I'm going to say this: you need to be careful what you give the devil to manipulate you with. All right, he's out to steal your heart. Okay, that's the thing, and he will use inevitable controversies in that thing to do it with. Right now, you're going to have problems in life, okay? You're going to have unfair things happen to you, right? There's going to be things that just ain't right that's going to be happening to you in this life, all right? What I tell you, though, is you need to take it to the Lord and not to the devil, all right? And this thing, you see here, verse 6, these men came up to the gate. You say, why did they come up there? They were needing judgment, all right? They were coming to get judgment. So now, if there is a judgment that needs to be made about what you're going through or something, hey, that's fine, okay? I'm just going to tell you, but you don't need Absalom. You don't need to let Absalom come up behind you there, put his arm around you, you know, and say, how's it going, friend? You know what I mean on that kind of thing? Because he's going to manipulate you on that, all right? That's what the devil does, folks. He rose up early. He's going to be at it early. He stood in the gate. Folks, he's going to manipulate with these controversies that come up, all right? And I notice something else, verse 3 then, all right? Absalom said unto him, see, thy matters are good and right, but there is no man deputed of the king to hear thee. This is, honestly, this is the facade of personal concern, all right? This is his facade. It's fake, all right? He's out there kissing feet, you know, grabbing their hands, buddying up to those, and, you know, showing how concerned he is on that kind of stuff. Folks, and that's in part how it helped him to steal their hearts. How many, I want to say, cons or politicians have used to get power and get what they want by doing that same thing, right? They'll promise you this, they're going to promise you that, and of course, you know, they don't keep their promises, all right? He says, oh, if I were in charge. Can you just imagine hearing this guy? You know, it's my own dad, and it breaks my heart. You know, he abused me too when I was little. He gave my sister the candy, and he didn't give me any, right? Can you hear him on this thing? You know, David doesn't care. You know, he doesn't care about you. But can I tell you, David did care. He was a king. He was a warrior, folks. He was a sweet psalmist, and he cared about his people there. Take your Bibles, look at 2 Samuel chapter 24. And let's see, look at this thing here, what's going on. In 2 Samuel 24, get over here. Look down here at verse 17, and notice here's some things going on, God's judgment's falling on this thing. In verse 17, notice what David spake unto the Lord when he saw the angel that smote the people, and said, lo, I have sinned, I have done wickedly, but these sheep, what have they done? Let thine hand, I pray thee, be against me and against my father's house. You see, this thing here, that came from the heart, folks, of a shepherd who cared for his people on that thing. Now, listen, you remember those disciples, right? They came to Jesus when the winds, man, they were started tossing the ship on the sea there, right, and blowing them all around. And I'm going to say, when they came to him, you know what they said? They said, carest thou not that we perish? Right? Now, folks, you know he does, right? The Lord Jesus Christ cares. But who's this putting the idea, folks, that he doesn't care? Who is that? Folks, that is the devil. Okay? You get those thoughts on that thing. That is the devil putting that stuff in your mind, that God doesn't care about you. When sickness comes in, disability or other problems come in, hitting you folks, it's going to come across your mind. They know God doesn't care. Folks, that is exactly the method that Absalom used to steal the hearts of these men. It's right there in the text, all right? That's the facade of the devil's personal care. He doesn't care about you. He hates you. He wants to see you messed up. Any way he can, he's going to try to do it. All right? Notice verse 3 again. Notice this. Brings this about insinuating. All right? Absalom said unto him, see, thy matters are good and right, but there is no man deputed of the king to hear thee. Right? There's no man deputed of the king. Here, folks, he's insinuating against King David. All right, that's what he's putting. He's saying the king doesn't care. Can I tell you, you know, it's like him coming up and saying, hello, Eve. Right? You see that thing? He walks up right behind him and says, now, Eve, hey, sis, just tell me, you know, all about this tree that you can't eat from. You know what? God's just withholding something from you. You know, you probably should have went, you know, somewhere instead of, you know, having to change diapers and taking care of the kids. Boy, God's withholding from you this fruit. I can hear that thing, you know. And Eve, then when she gets that thing, she just lets out, you know, her bitterness, and off we go, folks, where we are today. Amen. Can I tell you, it sure is good to be saved, though, ain't it? Amen. Thank God. You can praise God that you're saved on this thing. These insinuations against the king. And I want to say this, have you ever noticed, I want to say almost always, these controversies that come up in your life, or even in a church, and even with a pastor, or with your neighbors, or friends, or family, it comes down to the authority over you. You know, it's going to come right down with that issue right there, the authority. You know, they're mistreating you. You know, who's they, right? Your parents, your boss, you know. The devil comes up and he says, you know, God is just really sticking it to you. He's just really, you know, it's God, you know. You kids, you know, you think, well, I'm pretty smart. And, you know, my parents, they tell me to do this. They really just don't understand me. right? That's, you know, the devil's going to come up and say, you know, they don't know, you know better, right? In the 50s and 60s, they had what they call the hippies and all that stuff. You know, they didn't want to work. You know, they're always complaining about stuff. And they're saying the workplace is against us. You know, they don't like us. You know, well, there you got this guy. He's smoking dope. His pants are hanging all the way down, you know, and he shows up and he's been living in a field like an animal. Right. And he comes in and the guy's supposed to just give him a job. Right. I tell you, folks, this thing goes all across the board on stuff in churches. In churches, it runs like, you know, well, my pastor, he just really doesn't understand my situation. Yeah, I mean, you know, there's a controversy coming in there, right? And it's you know, maybe he doesn't. But you know what? Maybe he does, right? I think a lot of pastors grab a whole lot of things, you know, pretty good, I think, on that. But I'm going to tell you this. You look at the connection here, folks. This comes in when the controversies come up and the authority over you. And you know what? You're always right. And the authority is wrong somehow, right? You've got some kind of controversy, maybe, or something like that. And I tell you, I know there's bad authorities. I know there's bad police. I got this friend out there in Colorado, I'm telling you. And he's been, I think, misjudged and sentenced on some things that weren't right. But he's got it out for the cops. Oh, he hates the cops now, okay? It's like all cops are evil now, okay? Well, no, I think you got overdoing that thing a little bit, all right? There are some bad authorities, all right? That's for sure. But you got to realize the devil is going to be in that thing to manipulate the things, right? He's going to try to manipulate you on that and get you against the authority that you're under. And I tell you, you know what? God has put you under a certain authority for a specific reason, right? You need to be in submission. You need to learn some humility. You need to get under an authority that, you know, the right kind of authority, and, you know, just say, hey, thank you, Lord. You know, I think you're right and I'm wrong. Folks, they get all this kind of stuff. They say, well, how, you know, it's God that's engineered this whole thing for us to, you know, to suffer and stuff like that. Folks, can I tell you, it's not God that has engineered this stuff that's going on, I don't think, here. I believe God has engineered salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. God has engineered it so that we can have life and we can have it more abundant, right? The devil is the one who's engineered all this other stuff, see? He's the one who's manipulating, who's getting this stuff, putting these things together. He's interested in himself. He's interested in getting what he wants. And I'll tell you what he wants is your heart. He wants your heart, all right? So this thing here, he is going to rise up early to trick you if he can, right? He's going to be patient. He's going to start out slowly in some things. He's going to stand in the gate, so you're going to have to hear the things that he puts out, you know, and all that stuff that's going on today, the controversies that you have, right? He's going to try to make you doubt if God cares for you. He's going to make you doubt if, you know, the authority over you. Maybe you ought to, you know, kick the boss out, you know, you be boss and stuff, you know. He's going to insinuate to you that God doesn't care. And I'm going to say this, we live in a time, folks, that you can see all this stuff converging and getting together like never seen before, right? I'm going to say this, it's a serious day in which we live, and I think this, you need to take your Christianity seriously, all right? We are ambassadors for Christ. We are to be witnesses for him. You are a light in this dark world. The world, the flesh, and the devil wants to put that light out. Doesn't want you to shine on this thing right there. Folks, and he's going to make sure to try to get your heart, all right? So what are you saying? Well, you better keep thy heart with all diligence, right? Stay in church. Get preached at. You get the devil preached out of you, right? Keep reading the Bible. Keep reading that book. You know, you may not get everything. You know, just keep reading it, asking God to cleanse your heart, keep your heart, because the devil wants to steal it, all right? And in closing, I'll tell you, he will use anyone and anything he can to get it, right? That's how Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel, all right? Let's pray. Amen. Father, thank you for your word tonight. I thank you that there's so many things in there, God, that we can get, that you've just put in there, Lord God, for us to be able to see and to warn us, to keep us from evil and harm. Lord, we thank you for it. God, I pray for the folks here in the church, and I pray that you just continue to help them, strengthen them, Lord. Don't let them give inch, Lord, for the devil to get in there. Help our hearts not to just be so much on us and be selfish, Lord. I pray, God, that you'd help us to give you our hearts. Solomon said, give me thine heart, son. And, Lord, the picture is there with the Father and the Son. And, Lord, you want our hearts. And so, Lord, I just pray that you might help us be aware of this. And we'll give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. For it's in Jesus' name. Amen.